Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha.
For just more than 9 months, Alfred Montgomery has led the St. Louis Sheriff's Office. He came in with ambitions to make changes, but his tenure has been marked by disputes over spending, controversies around transporting detainees to medical care, and even an effort by Missouri's Attorney General to remove him from office. And that's just the start. Montgomery sat down with STLPR's Brian Munoz for a wide-ranging interview. Brian began by asking the sheriff about what he sees as his biggest accomplishment so far.
My biggest accomplishment was updating the office. We were able to get deputies a starting salary of $42,000 a year. We were able to fully staff the department. So we made a lot of changes within the office this far, and we're continuing to make the changes.
What was the importance of getting the pay for folks up? That was one of the things you campaigned on and very quickly tried to put into effect there.
Absolutely. I was a deputy sheriff in 2019, and we were underpaid and overworked. And I believe that when individuals are paid a more livable wage, you retain employees.
Speaking of retaining employees, can you talk about kind of staffing levels, where are you guys at right now, and how have you guys attempted to recruit and retain the folks that you have in your ranks?
Absolutely. So, January 1st, taking over office, we hit the road running. You know, we were fully staffed. We sent deputies through training. When it comes to staff in the sheriff's office, like any employer, people come and go. You know, some individuals move on to better employment. Some individuals stick around to retire from the office. It all depends on what an individual's true life goal is. I don't expect every deputy to stick around 30, 40 years, of course, but I do expect deputies to use the sheriff's office as a stepping stone on the way up, if that makes sense. Retaining deputies used to be a challenge up under the previous administration, but now we are retaining more deputies here at the sheriff's office. And when we're retaining these deputies, one of the big things that I wanted to make sure is that those deputies are respected. They're valued. They're not just a number at the sheriff's office. We treat them like family. We're family orientated.
You said one of your biggest accomplishments was increasing the pay for the deputies there at the department. What has this looked like so far from your seat in terms of the competitive landscape of other law enforcement agencies in the area?
Again, the sheriff's office starting rate used to be $32,600, especially when I was a deputy. That's a $10,000 raise. That's a pretty large raise for the first term in office. And state legislation has passed at the Missouri Capitol, where deputies now starting salary will be $50,000 a year. We're just waiting on a pay bill so we can go ahead and start paying those deputies a $50,000 a year raise. The sheriff's office used to be one of the lowest paid law enforcement agencies around St. Louis. So now with that significant pay raise, we know that we're able to not only recruit deputies, but also retain deputies.
Looking back on the flip side, what do you think you've gotten wrong in the last 9 months?
Well, you know, there's no manual to being the sheriff. You know, there will be some mistakes. There will be some missteps. But I tried to come into this office reading and knowing the state statutes that relates to the City of St. Louis Sheriff's Office. And that's what my main focus on when it came to managing and operating the Sheriff's Office strictly by state statutes of the Sheriff's Office. And what I notice is the City of St. Louis move off a lot of handshake deals. And I didn't come in moving off of handshake deals. I wanted to be that straightforward sheriff, not a person who dibbles and dabbles in favors of other elected officials. Yet I respect every other elected official, but I just want to do the job, the core duties of the sheriff's office. I watched the mistakes that the previous administration made. I studied the mistakes and I looked at different ways that we didn't have to make those same mistakes.
Were the handshake deals something you expected going into this office?
Absolutely. I've expected some handshake deals. Before taking over office, I had individuals come to me asking for certain favors. I've had certain elected officials come in threatening for certain favors. And it's just like, you know, listen, I'm the sheriff. I was duly elected. 92,265 individuals elected me, and they elected me for the things that I ran off of. And I ran off of modernizing the sheriff's office. I ran off of updating the sheriff's office. I ran off getting these deputies a more livable wage. At some point, we have to stick to the promises that we gave the people.
The city recently passed a bill requiring the sheriff's office to take detainees to the hospital when they need medical care. You asked a judge to prevent the new law from going into effect, but she recently denied that request. Is your office complying with the court order to transport jail detainees?
I'm a man of law and order. As I stated before, you know, when it comes to state statutes and laws, that's what I abide by. And because that court order is in effect, I have to abide by that court order. Now, I'm glad that we were able to have something into case laws, because when I look back on the previous problems that the sheriff's office had, I'm just a person who's sitting in the seat at this time. It does not belong to me. So these problems don't go away with the next elected officials. These problems still stand. Back in 2017, former Sheriff Betts had the same problem, but instead of him fighting with the city of St. Louis, he was fighting with the judges. And judges stated that, hey, you know, if you're not able to fully staff our bailiffs, then we'll hire our own bailiffs. But now I put a bailiff in every courtroom to satisfy the judges. And now I have this fight with the city because we're robbing Peter to pay Paul. When you look at the core duties of the sheriff's office, the core duties is to protect the circuit. And that's what I did, protect the circuit. So that's where this big fight is coming about. So now that this is in case law, anything that happens when it comes to short staff because of security, it falls on the hands of the circuit, not me as the sheriff.
So some witnesses that the city called at the hearing a few weeks ago spoke about the impacts of the sheriff's office not transporting jail detainees to the hospital. Some of those were, you know, increased stress, decreased recreational time and services for detainees. You were in the courtroom when that argument was being made. What goes through your head when you hear about those impacts as it compares to the impacts of your deputies?
It falls down to the mismanagement of the agency. What I got out of that from the city of St. Louis point of view is they can't handle the care, custody, and control of CJC. I'm the sheriff over the city of St. Louis Sheriff's Office. I can handle staffing the courtrooms. I can handle staffing security. I can handle the eviction process. I can handle the land tax sale process. Our office is operating efficiently, but because of the city of St. Louis is stating that they can't manage it because they don't have enough staff when they have several vacant FTEs, vacant spots inside of CJC, all they have to do is hire and retain individuals in CJC. So because they are short-staffed, they're putting the problem on another agency, and that's our agency. We don't have the problem now because we don't have those duties over at CJC, but now that problem has been kind of shifted over to the sheriff's office because, yeah, no problems is happening now because we're fully staffed. But what happens now that we take these deputies out of the courtrooms, we take these deputies out of security, out of their core duties, it's a catastrophe waiting to happen.
So is your office willing to transport these detainees to the hospital long term?
Absolutely. I've been saying this since day one. I've said this to the budget chair over at the Board of Aldermen. All we need is additionally either 18 to 30 slots to transport these detainees safely to and from the hospital. And I will be more than happy to take on that duty. I care about the medical for those detainees and getting these detainees to medical care. When you're inside of CJC, it's not a death sentence. You know, these people are innocent until proven guilty. And that's the way I look at these detainees. My staff have wrote reports, I've reviewed reports on, and I've seen firsthand on what those detainees go through. When I walk through our side of the jail at CJC, my biggest supporters is those detainees, because I made a promise to the citizens of St. Louis. I said that, hey, you know, we can work with the CJC on managing the CJC, and those detainees seeing hope. This is not a death sentence here. No one should go to jail to die not knowing if their innocence is proven or not. This is a huge problem in CJC. This is a problem that the city has. The city is a separate entity from the sheriff's office. So now the city is slowly shifting their problems onto the sheriff's office. Right now, we don't know who's responsible. Let's say if we are transporting a CJC detainee to the hospital and we get into a car accident or something happens, who's responsible for that death? Is it the city of St. Louis or is it the sheriff's office? You know, I don't like doing a handshake deal. I've even attempted to do a memorandum of understanding. I've reached out to the public safety director for meetings. I've reached out to the mayor's office several times for meetings. No one has ever sat down and met with me or my staff at all on how we can safely transport these individuals to and from court. This has been a problem way before I took over office. This was not only a Vernon Betts problem, but this was a Jim Murphy problem. But they had those handshaking deals, so they were able to kind of make deals and work together on it. Me, I just want a memorandum of understanding. At that time, Jim Murphy had 183 deputies. When Vernon took over office, former Sheriff Betts took over office in 2017, he had 160 or 165 deputies. Now I'm in office. I have 160 deputies, but the duties are still there that's expected. Now, this is not a core duty of the sheriff's office. This was a handshake deal for the sheriff's office. So as an elected official, when I come into office, I have the right to look at policy and procedures. That's another thing that I ran on, was updating policy and procedures. So I reviewed the policy and I reviewed the procedures, and we looked at where the problem lay, and I kind of tried to look for solutions for that problem, and we got the door shut in our faces.
What goes through your mind when you hear the argument, well, you should be required to transport these jail detainees with what you have? It's a status quo. You know, this is what's been done for years.
I think it's a lot of missing pieces to it. Even after reviewing Jim Murphy policy, Jim Murphy explained in his policy that the sheriff's office will have will oversee the safety and security of those detainees at the hospital. At that time, we had a hospital wing. We had deputies assigned to that hospital, so we already had deputies there. So all the sheriff's office had to do was do the security, oversee the security for those detainees while they're in that hospital wing. Now, moving forward in this day and time, we don't have a hospital wing. We have just deputies going to a regular room, two deputies supposedly at a time, to sit on detainees. Now, we have the general population still roaming. If these individuals are gang affiliated, it can put everyone at risk with this day and time. It's just a lot of safety concerns that we have, and we're not well equipped for it because we don't have the staff. We're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
What's changed from Jim Murphy's time in office to now in terms of why the so-called hospital unit isn't in effect anymore?
At that time, there was a hospital wing. It was a prison ward that they called in the hospital. From my understanding and from the history of the sheriff's office and listening to individuals in the sheriff's office, something happened with the city of St. Louis paying a bill at the hospital, and they kind of did away with the hospital wing. But we still had that hospital unit still, as people considered, on the books. So the sheriff's office continued to transport these individuals to and from the hospital on a handshake deal. And the staff was cut when former Sheriff Betts took over office in 2017. The staff was cut, but the expectations were still there. So when I took over office, I evaluated the sheriff's office. I looked at the policy and procedures. We looked at what our core duties were. And just to be on the safe side, we wanted to stick to the core duties. You can't go wrong with sticking with the core duties of the office. And that was the plan. That is the plan with running this sheriff's office under this administration. Now, if more duties are placed upon us, such as this transporting detainees to and from the hospital now, then we need the funding to make sure that this happens safely. We just had a detainee to escape from the hospital because we only had one sheriff deputy overlooking that detainee. We're short staffed. And it's a disaster waiting to happen.
Earlier in the conversation, you said you were fully staffed, but now you're short staffed. Can you just clarify what you mean?
So yeah, that's another thing that individuals kind of get confused. We're fully staffed for the sheriff's office duties. We're fully staffed. When we pick up other duties like hospital duties, we become short-staffed because we're not allocated to do those duties. CJC is, and it's unexpected.
Your undersheriff recently sent the director of public safety and some other folks an email saying that the sheriff's office was no longer going to transport people for scheduled medical visits if it wasn't 2 weeks in advance. There was quite a bit of pushback on that in court recently. You know, can you walk me through the thought process on that policy, even when, you know, someone may have an ailment pop up and they're like, okay, we can see you next week?
We have to go by the schedules of the courts. Our duty is to transport individuals from different detention facilities and also to and from court and oversee the security of the court. We can't just drop everything from the circuit and run to the city's aid or CJC aid because they're short-staffed. We just can't do it. We need proper notice. And that was something that I believe the undersheriff way of trying to work with the CJC. Again, we have attempted several times different ways to work with CJC just under the staff that we have. We even attempted to do CJC send one staff and the sheriff's office send one staff member, and they go together to the hospital to make sure neither of us become short staff. But the bottom line here is the city of St. Louis has a problem, and the problem is the mismanagement of their detention facility. And instead of them admitting that they have a mismanagement problem, they rather push the problem on the sheriff's office. We know that several individuals have died in the care of CJC. I have attended funerals of individuals who have passed away. I have walked over to CJC to see abandoned prisoners, abandoned detainees, over and in a cell by themselves without no supervision. We had one individual that our sheriff deputies rescued. That individual attempted suicide by placing a trash bag over her head. And if it wasn't for our sheriff deputies finding that individual, she would have been added to the number of deaths in the city justice center. So this is a huge problem. This is not a sheriff's office problem. This is a mismanagement problem. And the jail has been mismanaged over at CJC. And when it was mismanaged at the workhouse, they only shifted the problem. They shifted the problem to the city justice center.
One of the ideas you floated is that the sheriff's office should take over the CJC. Mayor Kara Spencer pushed back pretty hard on that idea. What would be your plan to make things materially better for detainees at the city jail?
The plan is to update that jail, update the locks. If we have to build another jail, let's get another jail built. These are loved ones. These are individuals' loved ones. People care about these loved ones, and there's no way they should be treated in house in these conditions. This is nothing but a baby workhouse in the making. We only shifted the rats from the workhouse and put them in a justice center.
The city is making the argument, if you're pulling folks from the CJC who work there to transport medical detainees, then the sheriff's office is the one that is making them culpable of not giving detainees, you know, the rec time and services that they arguably should have.
The sheriff's office is not pulling anyone. It's the job. It's the job of CJC, the care, custody, and control. The three C's. You care for these individuals. You control your facility. They're in your custody. So it's your job. What you're telling us is you're not able to do your job, the job that citizens pay their tax dollars for you to do. And even if you're not able to do it, I have offered. We can hire staff on our end if you give us the available slots to do so. We will be more than happy because we can manage our facility more. We can manage our sheriff's office. The problem lies in the management of CJC. And if you don't believe it, look how many individuals that the city of St. Louis have went through. Look how many commissioners the city of St. Louis has went through. Look how many employees the city of St. Louis has went through just working in that facility. And all the problems started after the workhouse was shut down. They moved whatever was going on from the workhouse to a smaller facilities, and the cancer still lives on. You have to kill the cancer.
So back to the question, what are some of the changes that you would make if your idea goes through and you are now the commissioner of the jail?
The first thing that I would do is do the same thing that I did at my sheriff's office. I will clean house on day one. We got to clean up and we have to rebuild. We have to rebrand. We have to get the training together. We have to rehire individuals. And then the work begins. Right now, we only have individuals working at CJC that come from the workhouse. We noticed that drugs was getting in the workhouse. Now drugs are overflowing the jail. At one point do we say we have to completely clean house and start completely over in order to get rid of the problem? The problem will stay there as long as we still have the people that's causing the problems there. It all boils down to managing. And right now it's mismanaged by upper staff. You have to clean house completely and start over. And if that consists of me having to call my fellow sheriffs around Missouri to house these detainees until we're able to rebuild this jail and work on the updates of this jail, then that's what we have to do for the meantime. But we have to first and foremost focus on the problems in the jail. Drugs are not growing on walls in the jail. Detainees are not going outside bringing drugs in. This is a problem. No one should go to jail and overdose on fentanyl or anything like that, because some of those individuals who work for CJC are bringing in the contraband.
In your eyes, does the CJC have a drug problem?
Absolutely. In the past months, we have transported 2 to 3 individuals who have suffered from an overdose in CJC custody. This is a lockdown facility, and these individuals are overdosing on deadly drugs. That's a problem. It's a contained crime conspiracy that's happening over at CJC, and it's slowly leaking out, and the sheriff of the city of St. Louis wants no part of it. I don't want any part of that. If I am transporting an individual to court, if I am transporting an individual to the hospital, they are in a custody of the sheriff's office. So if that individual dies in a custody of the sheriff's office is held liable for it.
Where do you think these drugs are coming from?
I think that individuals who work for the city of St. Louis is bringing drugs into the jail and giving them to those detainees and causing them to die. And the blood is on the hands of the city of St. Louis. Until we see and we acknowledge that we have a problem. And the problem is CJC. We have to look from the inside out. And right now, we're just looking for Band-Aids to patch up a problem that will continue to happen well beyond my absence from the sheriff's office.
What's your response to Mayor Kara Spencer and her criticism that you should be doing the job that you're assigned to do, not worry about running the jail?
I think the mayor is illiterate to city government. I don't think she understands the operation fully of city government, and it shows, because at one point she's stating that it is the sheriff's office duty, and the statutes are very clear. The care, custody, and control falls on CJC. If you can't handle the job, then you need to pass a job to a person who can handle it. Because I will hire a warden for that jail to oversee that jail in order to keep drugs out of that jail. To update policy and procedures, I can guarantee that we can clean up that jail. It's just a political power point for the mayor. I'm the person who put people over politics. The mayor is the person who puts politics over people. And that is the reason that I received criticism when it came to rescuing individuals from a tornado that wiped through the city of St. Louis back in May. You have to know who puts people over politics and who puts politics over people.
Finances have been a centerpiece of the criticism against you. There's one media report that alleges your office spent nearly $30,000 on new badges, and later on that you purchased a new Chevy Tahoe. How do you justify the expenses that your office has made?
We're investing in a sheriff's office that has been neglected for years. We're investing in the office. When you compare the sheriff's office to the police department, City of St. Louis PD has switched their branding, their badges, well over 6 times. The sheriff's office has never switched their branding or their badges. This is a representation of a new era here. We had several individuals with badges still to this day that is no longer employed at the sheriff's office, utilizing them for when they get pulled over or utilizing them for when they're working different security details. So what I did, I changed the badge completely so we can know and identify who's a sheriff deputy and who's not a sheriff deputy. It's my prerogative as the duly elected sheriff to brand this office. So we updated the sheriff's office. We modernized the sheriff's office. We're walking into a new era. Things don't last forever. You can compare the uniform changes to the city of St. Louis changes. In fact, 70% of our vehicles are beyond their useful life. 23 out of our 33 vehicles, the Tahoe was really a Band-Aid solution. It is out in use every day, not just by myself, but also by different deputies. I originally asked for $90,000 or more for vehicles for this agency. We have holes in the floors. The heat is not working in these vehicles. We have our outside service guys out there doing evictions and vehicles that can break down anytime. I'd rather have a new brand new Tahoe that we can send around to use than a vehicle getting stuck on a highway in a different county with several detainees. So this is an investment in the sheriff's office. And when you look around the city of St. Louis, that Tahoe is the same Tahoe that the public safety director have, the same Tahoe that several of the administrators for police department have, the same Tahoe that the mayor's office utilized, the same Tahoe that the medical examiner utilized. We're investing in our agency as the duly elected official.
What's your message for members of the public who may see headlines and may hear what's going on in court and think, you know, the sheriff's office's finances, they're just off the rails?
Come down to my office. You can ask questions. You can see the updates. I made a promise to the citizens during the campaign to update and modernize our sheriff's office. No one wants to see a sheriff deputy with dirty uniform with holes in it. And no one wants to see deputies with their pants hanging off of them and they're all sloppy. We want a more professional sheriff's office. The sheriff's office represents the people of St. Louis. This is a historic office here. This office should not be scrutinized for the spending on updating the office. I see if I purchase a gold badge for myself just to be a show off, or a Chevy Tahoe for myself just to be a show off. But this is an investment here to the office that our taxpayers pay. This is an investment here. It's not like we're utilizing funds for personal use or anything. I wouldn't dare do it. What we're trying to do is modernize an office to represent the people of St. Louis. When I go into different counties, we don't want to be the only sheriff's office that's still stuck in the 60s and 50s. We want to be a sheriff's office that's up to date and modernized, at least across the board here. And that's what we want to do. It's not about overspending, because most of the things we didn't use taxpayers' dollars for. We generate our own revenue funds so that we can update our sheriff's office, so we can invest in equipment in our sheriff's office. When it comes to the safety of those deputies need adequate equipment to do their jobs.
Now, knowing the financial impact that your office faced once many of the individuals leading the office from your predecessor's term left, would you have gone back and maybe try to work with them some more?
I truly believe that if I would have kept those individuals in the office, they would have destroyed the office quicker than 6 months. The statute states that we bring in our own administration, and you can compare that to, again, the mayor's office, who terminated many of the former mayor's office staff. I brought in my own administration, and I brought them in so we can complete a mission without having to be sabotaged by the previous administration. I don't need loyalty to me as the sheriff. I need loyalty to the office, to the sheriff's office, delivered to the sheriff's office. And I feel that the sheriff's office has been so political for so many years. It was a like a wrecking ball going into the status quo of politics.
The legal actions your office is involved in is growing by the week, and one of the most notable is the Missouri Attorney General's quest to ouster you from office. The AG outlines a slew of reasons why you should be removed, but at the root of it all, why do you think this is happening?
I think that it's racially motivated. It all boils down to me being the youngest African-American sheriff elected in the United States history. And so this is just a push to get rid of Democrats, especially Black Democrats, around the United States. And I think that the attorney general here felt like this was an easy grab. This was low-hanging fruit. So he kind of attempted to take candy from a baby, and a baby started pulling at its finger.
During a recent interview with 100.3 The Beat, you likened yourself to that of the late Emmett Till. He was a black 14-year-old who was accused of whistling at a white woman in 1955. That action ultimately led to his brutal killing. What do you and Emmett Till have in common?
We're both black. We were both falsely accused. I was falsely accused of hiring my brother, and I stated several times that, hey, I didn't hire my brother. This guy is not my brother. And the attorney general went on TV and stated that he had thorough evidence, that his investigators had thorough evidence that this guy was my brother. He stated that he even had birth certificates, that he's seen them himself, just to turn out by DNA that this guy was not my brother. If an individual will go to that extent, how far will they go to destroy another elected official that happened to be black? And it scares me because now I see that we can't have faith in some elected officials that we have in office today. And now this guy is the deputy director of FBI. This is a huge concern.
Thinking back, is there anything that you would have done differently so far?
You know, I'm constantly learning as I grow. Maybe I should have waited before spending on some things in the office. Maybe I should have waited and met with different individuals on different policies that would affect other individuals, you know. But we are here now. We attempted to meet with individuals. We attempted to reach out to individuals just to have the doors shut in our face. So it's like, you're set up for failure. We didn't have a good transition. I guarantee if we had a good transition, we wouldn't be going through any of this stuff. If I had known what we had in the budget at the beginning, we wouldn't be going through any of this stuff. We didn't have a good transition. We went with what we had.
Do you think you've been set up for failure?
Absolutely. I think it's an attempt to set me up for failure. But my grandmother always taught me when you throw you lemons, you make lemonade, and this lemonade is sweet.
Why should the citizens of St. Louis trust you?
A lot of people should trust me because they elected me as their sheriff. Although they see these different misleading news allegations, I've proven them wrong once. They said that I hired my brother. That turned out to be a complete lie. You have to ask the question, what else is a lie? What's really going on? What's leading this witch hunt? Is there something more to it? Is there something that individuals are trying to hide and this sheriff may be uncovering? I'm the same sheriff who knocked on each individual door. I'm the same sheriff who came to each ward meeting. I'm the same sheriff who had one-on-one meetings with different supporters.
What else is a lie besides the allegation that you hired your brother?
Everything. Every single thing. Every single thing is a lie. It's misleading. They're misleading the public with false news stories. They're misleading an individual. And as someone who is a voter of the city of St. Louis, I would be upset. I would be mad and angry that an individual will go through this extent to try and attempt to overthrow a government office.
There has been some conjecture in political circles as why the sheriff is an elected office in the city of St. Louis, given its unique structure. Do you think this office should remain as is, or do you think it should be one that should be appointed by the mayor?
I think that this office should remain how it is. And the reason why is we see what's happening with CJC. We see the mayor's office has lost the city of St. Louis Police Department. And now they want to take over an office that they don't control. I mean, if you can't handle your police department, why try to take over another law enforcement agency? It just doesn't make sense. These offices are elected for a reason. They are elected to represent you, your voice, not the mayor's voice. Can you imagine the corruption that would happen if this office was under one individual? It's a huge problem. It's a recipe for corruption. This office represents the people, not the mayor's office.
Thinking about your run for this office, your subsequent election, and your time so far, has this all been what you thought you signed up for?
I knew that being the youngest African-American sheriff will come with problems. Shortly after the primary, we received death threats. We received nasty emails. We heard the previous sheriff call me a monkey coming into office. We knew the possibilities that this office will come with. But I can tell you this, I'm on guard. I'm not afraid. I can't be bossed and I can't be bought. One thing that my ancestors taught me was to stand for something or fall for anything. And I'm the sheriff. As my slang say, I'm standing on business.
What keeps you going?
The people, my staff. Times get hard. You know, I was sitting looking at some videos, some news videos from the past, and my five-year-old son was laying in my lap. And he said, "Daddy, what is these news people talking about? We can't go to your office? We can't be around you as sheriff?" And it touched a part of my heart. It touched my heart because these little boys in the future would become young men. Young man who may want to be the sheriff. Young man who may want to be an elected official. Young man who may want to be a police officer. Young man who may want to be a news reporter. And this is what they are seeing now. I have to show them what my ancestors showed me. You stand for something or you fall for anything. When times get hard in the office, and sometimes they do, and I may bend a little bit, I may rock a little bit, but I won't break. And when my chin fall low, I lift my chin up. Because if the deputies see my chin low, then the morale begins to fall. We worked so hard on lifting the morale in the sheriff's office. We worked so hard on building the sheriff's office back up from where it come from because we came a long way. I know how it feels to be a deputy up under a dictator. I know how it feels to be overworked and underpaid. I know how it feels to be bullied by a manager or a department head. And I vow to never allow that to happen to those individuals that serve the citizens of St. Louis again. So I have to keep going.
This episode was produced by Brian Munoz.
Podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.